It takes years, as they say, to achieve overnight success. And if you ask comedian Stephanie Tisdall, she'll tell you she's not quite there yet, but she's definitely on her way. After winning Deadly Funny in 2014, Steph has been collecting accolades wherever she goes, including in Scotland, where she sharpened her comedic style. Since returning to Australia, she's appeared on ABC's Comedy Up Late, Tonightly and Just for Laughs, as well as touring with the Aboriginal All-Stars. She spoke with Away's Rudy Brammer ahead of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, where she'll be performing her second show, The Pyramid, as well as returning to Deadly Funny, this time as MC.
Hello, my name is Stephanie Tisdall. I'm a very proud Yidinji woman and I'm a comedian. I do a lot of material that is quite political, that is aimed at making a difference in relationships between white Australia, I'm doing that with inverted commas, and Aboriginal Australia, and just hoping that we can move toward being just Australia without having to make that distinction. I used to live in Scotland, right? I lived in Scotland for 2 years, and this is something that I would actually suggest to everyone. If you're looking for a new, fun experience, be Aboriginal in Scotland. It's one-of-a-kind experience. I did live in Scotland, and honestly, I don't really know how to describe it. I think that people in Scotland possibly thought that Aboriginal people were just a myth, like drop bears. I had the weirdest reaction. So I got up, right, and I was doing a spot, and I said, "Hey guys, I'm Steph. I'm Australian. In fact, I'm Aboriginal." And I had this woman stand up in the back of the room and go, "Oh no, Hen, you're beautiful." I don't even know what that means. I can't tell if this woman's being super racist or just super dumb. I had this other gig, there's this guy waiting for me backstage, right? I'm feeling like a superstar. Comes and talks to me really on the down low, right? He goes, "Excuse me, are you really an Aboriginal?" I'm like, "Yes." He said, "Oh my God, this is so exciting. You're the first real one I ever met." I'll tell you what, Melbourne, I was shocked because until that point, I just had no idea there were so many fake Aboriginal people in Scotland.
Do you find that with festival audiences that you're doing anything kind of different to when you're doing shows that are maybe people that have sought you out because they know that you're a black comedian and they want...
Yeah, so I tour with the Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars, and when we do gigs, it's for community, it's for mob, and it's so different because you can talk the way you want to talk, and there's a little bit of a, you can kind of go, you're kind of all on the same page, whereas when performing to a much wider audience, I think that becomes part of the obligation, I guess, is to educate the audience in a very different way without being too preachy, so they don't miss the message. So, because that is the thing, is that there is so much white guilt around and there's a lot of guilt attached to a lot of the things that I talk about as far as how Australian government, like how policy and stuff has let our people down so much. But if you want to talk about that stuff, you have to make sure that people are on side and aren't immediately defensive. Whereas if you do a gig for community and mob, like, it's understood. We're just knowledgeable about exactly what's gone wrong, and so those jokes are quicker and easier and you can make them a little bit more hard-hitting and relatable, I guess.
Because I've been watching some of your stuff online and I've noticed that there is a difference with you, even just from walking out on stage, because you often perform or always perform barefoot.
Yeah, no shoes.
Yeah, and I've quite enjoyed the difference between... When you're performing for blackfellas, you don't actually mention the shoes straight up,
yeah,
or the lack of shoes straight up, but yeah, you do for whitefellas.
Well, because you have to, right? Like I just don't like wearing shoes. It's got nothing to do with culture. It's just a preference, right? But I think white fellas have got an idea that if you're on the stage, you should be a little bit more presentable than that. But also, like, I have to reference it because people do think it's cultural. They just don't know any better. Like, I had a friend of mine just after school who was like, "Hey, Steph, me and the girls have gotten together and we're going to put some money together to buy you some shoes because we know that you are probably struggling for money, but we thought we'd just check first that it wasn't cultural." It's like, oh, man.
The only other blackfellas that are allowed to be shoeless on stage are dancers. And maybe it's time for you to start thinking about sort of busting out Bangara style.
Do you know what's really weird? Speaking of dancing.
Yeah.
My new show, The Pyramid, actually finishes with a dance number. So there you go.
Look at that.
It's not traditional dance. It's just the show's really heavy and kind of talks about where you fit in the world and the state of the world and all that sort of thing. And then at the end I just go, you know what, bugger it. Let's just dance. Like, don't get caught up in this stuff. Live in the moment and have a dance. And then I've just made this really silly little dance number so that all of the audience walks away feeling really energised and kind of better about things.
That's beautiful.
We hope.
We'll
you haven't
see.
Seen me dance yet. It's probably worth saying that this show isn't as focused on Indigenous issues as my last one. So this show's more about just the idea of inequality or inequity more than anything, and it kind of dismantles social structures, I guess. So it's certainly related to the topic, but like the show that I did before and the show I'm taking to Sydney, Identity Steft, was very much about the identity struggle of not feeling black enough, not feeling white enough, and the place that you exist in the in-between, and the idea that as soon as you identify as being Indigenous, whether or not you want to, you become very politicised and you have to be a political person. And so this show is quite different, I guess, because it's on a much sort of broader, universal idea of hierarchy and where we fit in and what success means, considering, you know, the general consensus is we don't like those people who are in power because they don't ever represent us. So why is that still what we see as the top position, or, you know what I mean? That kind of dismantling of those power structures, I guess.
Why have you decided to kind of go in this direction?
Oh, because, like, another big part of my life, I guess, is that my mum actually owns an international aid organisation, and so a lot of the travel that I've done has been to, like, developing countries and, you know, then also going to, like, I was in Port Augusta a couple of weeks ago, and there's just so much kind of overlap as far as you just always see the powerful structures kind of, like, it always gets me how powerful structures like to blame the isolated, and then the disadvantaged also blame the isolated. Like, it's
people who are marginalised looking towards other marginalised people
exactly
as the problem.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I just have always found that to be so fascinating and such a problem and such a weird human trait, I guess. And then the powerful, we let them get away with so much because they're powerful. It's just one of those, like, chicken egg things of...
Yeah, and I also am seeing why you're ending this show with a dance routine.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is, yeah, it's incredibly heavy.
It is. It's very heavy, which has been, I think, the hardest part about writing it is just that trying to keep the humour in it, because, like, I got really obsessed with... Like, I just, honestly, if you haven't, just fall down the rabbit hole. It is epigenetics. I love that stuff. It's like where nature and nurture meet, essentially, right? And so it's like this idea that the newest sort of research that we're doing as far as economics, biology, all of these things is saying that the kinder that we treat people, the kinder we will all be. And yet we keep on pushing these structures that only the powerful get to the top, even though it's all a fallacy. So that's kind of what the show's about, and that's why it's like it encompasses the feelings of, the only way that I like to explain it to people, like, of what it means to be Aboriginal is you're just always an other. People don't know where to put you. They don't know what to do with you. Become an other. And so the show, I guess, is about the idea of being an other in the biggest terms possible.
Now, I know that you're also, you're hosting Deadly Funny this year. I went to say you started it with Deadly Funny, but you didn't. You started overseas.
No, I did start with Deadly Funny. So so I think the initial heat was my third ever gig and the final was my seventh ever gig. And then I won and I just got this real bug. And like people will talk about that too. There's something weird. Like if you have the inkling to do comedy, there's something wrong with you. If it clicks with you, then you just have to go with it because you found out what's wrong with you and now you've got to stick in that little, you know what I mean? So I ended up saying, oh, man, this is so weird. This is something I really, really want to pursue and explore. And so I was like, I'm a bit too ashamed to do it in front of my friends and family and I don't think I could, like, promote myself or sell myself very well. So if I go to Scotland, then I can just rely on myself and I'll see if I'm any good without anybody telling me otherwise.
That's kind of taking away that safety net, but also if it didn't really work, no one saw
it. Exactly. That's what I live by, though, too, is just that idea of, because I do struggle a lot with, like, anxiety and stuff like that and just, you know, with mental health, I just go, it's so easy to get scared by the little things in life, like the little things, the things that scare me the most in life, you know, like little social situations or answering calls. I'm really bad at going to doctors and stuff like that, right? But if you remove the safety net, like, completely, then those little things aren't scary anymore because you learn that you're capable of doing the big things and then everything sort of clicks into place after that. I always tell people, like, do comedy, do something that scares you. And then it's done. You know what I mean? Like, you go, oh, that's okay. I'm actually capable of doing that. See what else happens.
Something that we like to ask comedians when we talk to them, when we have the chance, who are you funniest around?
Probably my best friend and my siblings. Like, I'm not funny off stage. Like with people, this is so weird because I know how to write a joke and I know how to, like, be real funny around my friends and my family. But if I've just met somebody, I get really oddly formal. Like, I get really uncomfortable. And so I over compliment people and I'll be like, hello, it's lovely to meet you. Would you like a drink? Like, I just want to, like, facilitate their lives for a while. And so people are like, this is so weird, she's not even funny. But then, like, I can be on a stage. I don't know, it's weird.
No, I think it's one of those things that people kind of forget. Like, comedian is a job. And, like, yeah, people do actually sit and work on their set over, you know, however long.
I think actually the weirdest part, it's not even so much that it's a job, it's that, like, I was discussing this in the, randomly ran into Claire Hooper the other day of all people, and we were talking about how how it's funny how, like, if you just wrote it down and handed it to a therapist or something, right, they'd go, there might be something wrong with that person, like, telling extremely personal stories very publicly. Like, it's such a weird, there's something odd that draws you to that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's something exhibitionist about it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I'm a weird, that's basically all it is I'm really quite outgoing but shy but very awkward. And plus, like, you know, I like to make purposely lame jokes, and if you just pull them on random people, they're like, is this how you write your comedy? But if you're doing it with your friends, they know your weird sense of humour. They find that funny.
So I've seen sort of in the lead up to the festival that your name has come up a couple of times in, like, one to watch sort of articles. I mean, aside from the fact that it feels a little bit ominous to be on, like, like you're on a watch list.
It's weird, huh? It's a bit surreal, if I'm honest. Like, it's weird seeing one. Because, I don't know where all these came from, then all of a sudden. Okay, so quick confession, totally embarrassing, but you kind of have to do it because it's promo, whatever. So I have an alert for my own name if a new article comes up on Google. I have a Google alert, which is, like, important but feels really arrogant. And, yeah, I'll be going, how am I getting – I had no idea any of these lists were going out. I have no idea why, but yeah, that somebody else has decided that I'm on the way up or something, I guess. I don't know. It feels like there's a lot of pressure. Like, I had a big cry last night because I was like, oh, people now want me to do well. Like, it was cute before because if I did badly, it was endearing, and now it's like, we're all watching, Steph. What are you going to pull out of the bag? That's very scary. I don't like it.
Well, you've gone from being black famous to being famous, or like you're on the way.
Yeah, I'm not even black famous, by the way. I'll tell you.
Oh, okay.
I'm not black famous. So I had a really exciting moment a couple of months ago. I went up to Cairns, right? And so, like I said, I've been touring with the Aboriginal Comedy All-Stars, which is Kevin Crepinieri, who's famous, Sean Chulbro, who's famous, and Andy Saunders. They're all famous, right? But they're especially black famous. So I've been, like, gigging with them and thinking, oh, cool, I'm, you know, creating awareness amongst mob that I'm out there doing jokes and that sort of thing. Anyway, I went up to Cairns and I had this awesome gig, and because it's Cairns, there was way more black fellas in the audience, right? And afterwards, this auntie comes over to me and she goes, oh, my God, I'm such a big fan of yours. Can I get a photo? Can I put it on Facebook? And this was the first time this had ever happened to me. And I was like, yeah, oh, my God, of course. She's like, I've seen you on the TV. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really amazing. Thank you. And we took a whole bunch of pictures and they were just gushing about me, right? And then as they started to walk away, she goes, we loved you on I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here. We love you, Casey. God. And I was like, no.
Comedian Stephanie Tisdale speaking with Away's Rudy Bremer. You can see Steph at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival performing her new show. It's called The Pyramid, from the 28th of March through to the 21st of April. She's also performing her show Identity Steffed at the Sydney Comedy Festival from the 16th to the 19th of May. There are links to all of this on our website, abc.net.au/rn. Just search for Away in the program menu.